The message today will be from Genesis chapter 19, starting in verse 1. The title of the message is The Danger of Living Too Close. The Danger of Living Too Close. And verse 1 says, And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll study the danger of living too close from Genesis 19. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house today. I do pray you'd forgive me for my sins. I do pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. I do pray for those that are sick. I pray for those not able to be here, those traveling. Pray you give them safety. I do pray that you would help us today, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing that we'll see in our study of chapter 19 is the visit from the angels in verses 1 through 3. So verse 1 says, There came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now, you'll remember in our previous study in chapter 18 that there were three that came to visit Abraham, three men, and one of them was the Son of God, and the other two were angels. And so while Abraham is talking to Jesus about trying to get him to spare Sodom, and he's having this conversation with the Lord, then the two angels go on ahead to check out the city. So the two angels have now arrived at Sodom, and they are going to talk to Lot. And the Bible says Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now, a lot of people think that he did this because he was a judge of the city, because this is where prominent people, judges, would have sat. Gill does not agree with this. I'll read you what Gill says, but it could be either way, but we'll read you what he says. He says, And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, not as a civil magistrate to try causes there, being appointed a judge over them, as Jarkey relates. That was a Jewish commentator. Yea, the Jews say that that day five judges were appointed by the men of Sodom, and Lot was the chief of them. But this is not likely and seems to be contradicted by Genesis 19:9. Now, Genesis 19:9, men of Sodom say, this one fellow came in to sojourn and he will needs be a judge. So what Gill is saying is that verse 9 would indicate that Lot was not a judge because of the way that they talked to him in verse 9. However, I'm not completely sure that verse 9 rules out the fact that he was a prominent man in the city or a judge. Nonetheless, Gill thinks some good thoughts of him. He says, But he sat there to observe strangers that might pass by and invite them into his house, that they might not fall into the hands of the wicked Sodomites who might abuse them. This being a time when not only travelers would be glad to put up and take refreshment, but his wicked neighbors lay in wait for them to satisfy their lust on them. He had learnt this hospitality from Abraham. I have no doubt that Lot had learnt hospitality from Abraham. Abraham was a very good host, and it was a common thing in Eastern culture to show hospitality to strangers. But verse 2 says, And he said, Behold now, my lords. So this is Lot talking to these angels. And he says, Turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Now, Hebrews 13:2 says, Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And indeed, Lot probably was not aware that these two men were angels at this time. They came in the form of men. And Abraham had a little bit more spiritual discernment than Lot did. Abraham recognized who the three were that showed up at his house, but Lot probably just thought they were important people. But nonetheless, he was entertaining angels unawares. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown says, entered into his house. On removing to the plain, Lot intended at first to live in his tent apart from the people, Genesis 13:12. But he was gradually drawn in, dwelt in the city, and he and his family were connected with the citizens by marriage ties. So we see that Lot pitches his tent towards Sodom, and then he ends up living in the city of Sodom and has a house in Sodom, and his daughters actually marry the men of Sodom. So he's gotten in further than probably he intended to begin with. So the second thing we see is the visit from the men of Sodom, verses 4 through 13. So verse 4 says, "But before they lay down, the men of the city were, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." So they were homosexuals and they wanted to have sex with these men. That's what that means. "And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." So we have a kind of a interesting contradiction here. So on the one hand, Lot is in with these people to the point where he calls them brethren. He says, "I pray you, my brothers." He doesn't say, I just pray you, friends or neighbors. He says, "I pray you, my brothers." So he's in pretty deep with the Sodomites, though he doesn't participate in their sin in that way. But he says, "I pray you, brethren." But then he calls them wicked. He says, "Do not so wickedly. This is a wicked thing you're doing." It's interesting that Lot was not a lost man. He was a saved man. But he was living in amongst this wickedness and calling these Sodomites his brethren. 2 Peter 2:8 says, "For that righteous man," speaking of Lot, "for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." So Lot was a righteous man and it vexed his soul, his righteous soul, because of the wicked things that they did. But nonetheless, he called them brethren and he lived among them. And listen to what he says, verse 8. Of Genesis 19. "Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing. For therefore they came under the shadow of my roof." So this is Eastern hospitality where the host is sworn to protect his guests, but also it's total depravity. Lot had first pitched his tent towards Sodom and now he was living in it and his whole family had been corrupted by it. I mean, you have to be a pretty twisted person to tell a bunch of Sodomites outside your house, "You can have my two virgin daughters, but don't touch my guest." I mean, that's pretty sick. And some commentators try and justify that and say, well, this was just Eastern hospitality. This was not just Eastern hospitality. This is a man who's been corrupted by the city of Sodom. He's going to protect his guests but sacrifice his daughters, which is pretty sad. There's a lot of people that'll sacrifice their families on the altar of business or on the altar of a ministry. There are pastors who have lost their families because of the ministry. And none of it's necessary. It's just you have to be able to say no to people. And a lot of people can't say no. But Lot offered to do this. we see his decline into sin. He didn't start out this way. He was with Abraham. The Bible says in Psalm 1:1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." So there's always a progress to moral decline. It doesn't happen immediately. Lot did not start out living in Sodom. He started out with Abraham. Then they got to fighting, or actually their employees started fighting, their servants. And Lot chose the plains of Sodom when they divided because it was a better place to keep his cattle. It was good land. And so he chose that land. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. And then he and his wife decided that they'd be better off living in Sodom because they probably had nicer stores and stuff than out there in the middle of the desert. So he goes and starts living in Sodom, gets himself a nice house, and he's ends up sitting in the gate. So there's a progress to moral decline. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. First you're walking, then you're standing, then you're sitting. So that's the way that the devil takes you out. You start walking in ungodly counsel, then you start doing sinful things, standing in the way of sinners, and then you end up mocking those who are trying to serve God, so you're sitting in the seat of the scornful. So there's a progress of moral decline. Now verse 9 of Genesis 19 says, "And they said, stand back." This is the Sodomites. They said, "Stand back." "And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge." They said, "He's just a foreigner. He's not even a part of our city. He comes in here to live with us, and now he's going to judge us and say we're wicked. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men, this is the angels, they put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and they shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." So they have verified by physically being in the city how wicked the city is. The cry of it came up before the Lord, but the Lord came down before he destroyed it to come in physical form, to have his angels go and verify the wickedness of the city. And they have seen it, and they've found out how wicked it is. And so they're going to destroy it. So the third thing that we're going to see here is after Lot gets a visit from the angels, Lot visits his sons-in-law. Now, Lot had two virgin daughters with him, but he also apparently had other daughters because he had sons-in-law. And so the Bible says in verse 14, "And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law." So they thought he was joking. And this shows you what kind of a testimony Lot had. Lot had ruined his testimony. And so when he goes to warn his sons-in-law about the destruction that's coming on the city, they think he's joking. They won't listen to him. And so his sons-in-law and his daughters that were married to them, we don't know how many there were there, but they end up being destroyed in the city. It's just Lot, his wife, and his two virgin daughters that escape. And of course, his wife gets turned into a pillar of salt on her way out. So this guy's got a ruined testimony. When you witness to somebody and they think you're joking, that's pretty sad. That's a pretty sad testimony. So verse 4, the escape from, or excuse me, section 4, the escape from Sodom, verses 15 through 17. So verse 15 says, "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered..." So they've just told him everything's going to be destroyed, and he's sticking around. He's not, you know, if somebody tells you a tornado's coming, usually you get stuff as quickly as you can, and you go hide in the bathroom or the hallway or the basement or whatever you've got. But Lot, they're going to destroy the city, so he sticks around. "And the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city." So the angels have to drag him out of the city and his family. He's so enamored with this lifestyle that he's developed in this wicked city. "And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." So they say, "Get out of here, leave, and go to the mountain, because we're going to destroy this whole place." So Lot is a righteous man according to the New Testament. He was a righteous man. He was saved. He was a believer in the God of Abraham. He'd been justified. He was a righteous man. He vexed his righteous soul daily with the conversation of the wicked, with their way of life. And yet, Lot is so backslidden that his he trying to witness to his own family seems like he's joking. And when the angels say, "Leave the city," he stays around. They literally have to drag him and his family out of the city. And so he's lost a lot of his family. He's going to end up with just him and his two daughters. And all because he gets too close to the city of Sodom. He pitches his tent towards it. Perhaps he never intends to move there. They see how nice it is. They decide to move to the city. And then he's got a house there. He's got a permanent place in the city. And his whole life is ruined because he got too close. The danger of getting too close. In conclusion, I want to read you some verses from the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11 says, "I wrote unto you in an epistle not to keep company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world." So it's not possible to totally break off ties with people that practice sinful things. Otherwise you'd have to go out of the world. We as believers can't break off ties with everything and everyone that's sinful completely, because we'd have to go out of the world. But verse 11 says, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat." So the Bible teaches that if someone that is called a Christian lives like the lost world, then we don't have meals with them. We don't eat with them. And the reason we do that is because that was a way in the New Testament church, and it's still a way today, to get them to repent and turn back to God. "With such a one know ye not to eat," which literally means don't eat with them, because they would have fellowship meals in the church, and it says don't eat with them. And so the Bible's teaching is for separation. And we can't completely separate from the sinfulness of the world, but we can separate from people that are living in open, unrepentant sin in the church until they repent. And that's what is being taught there. The purpose of that is to lead a person to repentance. And so the danger of getting too close is that we would tolerate sin, that we would live too close to sin, which is what was happening in the church in Corinth. When we did our study of 1 Corinthians, they had somebody who was in a perverse relationship with their own stepmother in the church. And Paul actually said that it was something so wicked that the heathen wouldn't even talk about it. See, lost people wouldn't even do it, but you're putting up with it in the church. And I've seen this happen in church before. When I was a member of the Presbyterian church before, well, now it's there's two different churches. The church I went to, Christ Presbyterian here in town, has separated from the Presbyterian Church USA, and then the First Presbyterian downtown is still a part of the Presbyterian Church USA, I think. But nonetheless, the Presbyterian Church USA at that time, they do a lot of wicked things, but at that time they had a conference, and you don't know this stuff goes on in what's called churches, but it does. These are liberal churches. They had a conference where a bunch of female preachers got together who many of them were lesbians, and they got together and they decided to, it was called the Reimagining God Conference, and they actually decided that God, instead of being the God of the Bible, was the goddess Diana, I believe, and they recreated God. It's true. And and this was done at a Presbyterian Church USA conference. And there was a lot of people upset by that. And there was a debate in the church whether or not the church should leave the Presbyterian Church USA. And of course, biblically, they should have gotten out of Dodge. But there was a conference. And I remember everyone saying, no, we're not going to leave. We're going to stick around and we're going to just love one another. And people going up, hugging the pastor, let's love one another, and all this kind of nonsense. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches separation. And so, the danger of being too close. Lot was a saved man, but he got too close to Sodom, and he lost his whole family. And we, as believers, if we get too close, we can't come out of the world completely. We have to interact with lost people. But if we get too close to the deeds of the world, the deeds of darkness, and we get involved in those things and we start to live in those things, it will destroy our testimony. It'll destroy our families. It will make us lose things that are good and precious to us. And so we need to practice separation. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you unto myself. And so let's be holy unto the Lord as believers in Jesus Christ. There's a danger in getting too close to the things of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you for the work you're doing in this place. I pray if anyone here doesn't know you as Savior, that today will be the day that they will turn to you in faith, put their faith in you, Lord Jesus Christ, to forgive their sins and save their souls. We do thank you for dying for us on the cross and rising from the dead. We thank you for the salvation you bought for us on Calvary. We do pray that you would help us if we need to make decisions to come out from the wicked deeds of the world, if we need to repent of things, if we need to get rid of things. I pray that you would help us to do those very things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.